everyone. Thank you for tuning into From the Friar. I'm Ellie. I work in clinical research and live in the Pacific Northwest. I'm joined today by my lovely co-host.
Hey everyone, this is Leon. I'm a network engineer with Ellie here at the Pacific Northwest. Thank you so much for joining us in our podcast. It really means the world to us. Thank you.
About a year ago, I wanted to start a podcast kind of based around 90 Day Fiancé, but I would talk myself out of it every single time. Since it's a year later and I still want to do this, I figured I would jump right in. So thank you for joining us on this journey, and we'll just dive right in. Okay, let's start with Angela and Michael. We see kind of a little bit of a recap of their wedding and their previous relationship issues and background. Seems like the big story this season is going to be her weight loss and the never-ending story of needing a baby, even at 54 years old.
Yeah, we see her kind of working out with the kiddos and you know, moving around and getting ready. I guess she's going to have a gastric bypass surgery, or a sleeve surgery to sort of help her with her weight loss journey. From what she tells us, she's kind of been, you know, she's done diet pills and exercising and all this stuff before, and it's never worked. We wish her the best on this journey, but there's definitely things going against her that will probably impact this journey and recovery. Just for example, one, she doesn't mention that she just doesn't drink water, which I find very not okay. I mean,
doesn't drink water, smokes, drinks pop, and the kids say Nima eats lots of sweets.
Yeah, so there's definitely a lot going against her, but yeah, we're definitely gonna be rooting for her on this journey for sure.
Michael is wonderful. I don't know how I feel about him saying that this is a waste of money and that he thinks that she only wants to look sexy, and this is kind of reiterated by his Aunt Lydia, who also does not think this is appropriate for a woman of this age to want to look sexy. And it almost seems like he's playing the angle of he doesn't want to lose her. He doesn't want other men to be more attracted to her.
Yeah, I've seen, maybe it's just the way they communicate, but sort of Michael, I don't know if he has to, but he tends to show the whole, like, hey, I'm attracted to you, almost to, like, reassure Angela or to let her know that, you know, obviously the way she looks is okay and that he loves her and all that good stuff. But Angela's already unhealthy, and she's on the, you know, older age. Her having this surgery and, you know, successfully going through a weight loss journey, that will benefit not only her, but their relationship in general. Especially as you get older, you know, mobility becomes an issue, carrying that extra weight, the pain in your knees, all of that is going to lessen going through this process, which can only benefit them as a whole, which if they ever get to the grand dream that they want to have of having a baby, probably the more in shape you are, the more you can take care of a baby.
Exactly. Like, you want to be able to enjoy the baby and be around for the baby and be around for Michael. So I understand that the main goal for Michael and his family seemingly is the baby, but truly a healthy Angela should be priority.
And honestly, I feel like Michael or someone needs to check the family and say, there is no way a baby is going to happen in this relationship that comes from Angela. That is not going to happen. They need to end that chapter of their thoughts and just close it off, because they keep reiterating it over and over. And I'm thinking, this lady is not going to produce a child. This is not going to happen. And then his aunt does mention a surrogate, which I don't recall them mentioning it before. They probably had conversations about it on the show of some kind of surrogacy option. And obviously, like, them calling her out, I'm like, hey, she's probably wasting this money. Again, one, hey, you gotta take care of yourself or you can take care of somebody else. I mean, that's it. But I feel like them having a child in whatever way is very slim to none. How that pans out at the end, I don't know. I have a hard time seeing it happen.
I don't know why I have this feeling, but I don't know if having a child is as big of a deal to Michael as it is to his family. Do you think that he truly does want to have a baby?
I think maybe in the way, maybe his culture or the folks around him, it's sort of assumed like, hey, you're married, now you need to produce offspring. I don't know. I can't tell if he's sort of saying it to appease his family.
I don't know why I get that feeling.
I mean, I do get part of him, you know, he probably does want to be a father and, you know, have his own kids and all that good stuff. But I think maybe his family puts so much pressure on him that he sort of has to lighten that load by just reassuring them. They're like, yeah, we're going through with this. We're talking about it. It's still on my mind. you know, who knows? He obviously, since he's talking the surrogacy side, he knows the baby's obviously not going to come from Angela. So the whole "I'm going to tote it" thing from her daughter's egg is definitely not going to happen.
Hey, that's the solution.
It's definitely not going to happen. So
she can tote it. She just needs her egg.
I don't know. I'm sure he wants to be a dad and, you know, raise his kiddos. Yeah, I don't think his family's making it any easier for him.
Angela straight up lying to the nurse stressed me out.
Okay, so just, you know, we watch a lot of, like, 600 Pound Life.
Yeah.
And in that show, Dr. Now, basically, he's very stringent on a protocol people have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
To even get into the program, one, you got to lose X amount of weight before I even
even
consider you for surgery. And then once...
it's a lifestyle change.
Correct. And then he's pretty hard on people, and he does give them a lot of chances, but he's still hard on them. The fact that Angela, you know, she's already approved for the surgery. They probably gave her some basic instructions like, hey, you got to eat a liquid diet, don't smoke. And she's already not following those rules does not make me confident in her progress or her prognosis after the surgery or how she's even going to recover.
I think that's the biggest part. It's like recovery. Like, it's going to be pretty crappy anyway for such a big surgery. You don't want to add any more issues to it.
I have to imagine she's probably been smoking for...
yeah,
years.
She said that she was, yeah, a teenager.
I mean, that, for all we know, that could be like 40 years.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how many people have stopped smoking after 40 years and just, oh, I'm having a surgery, so I'm just going to stop now. Like, that is going to be incredibly, incredibly difficult for her. And the fact that it seems like she traveled alone. I don't, you know, I'm not too versed in these procedures, especially the recovery timelines of, hey, you can travel now or you can move around. That's got to take some time. I don't know if she's going to spend like a couple days in LA and then she's going to travel, or she's going to get some kind of assistance where people are like kind of help her travel.
Yeah, hopefully she has a nurse or someone that's going to help take care of her, check in on her.
Hey, but for real, Angela, yeah, we're rooting for you, and we wish you the best, and hopefully it's a good recovery. And I mean, obviously it's already happened now, so I'm assuming she's okay.
I have seen interviews and she does look slimmer, so good for her.
You know, that's awesome. So
hopefully she feels great.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see, like, sort of her journey to get to where she is now. That'll be interesting.
Also, can we give props to that Uber driver?
Yeah,
she had
definitely.
Great patience. She asked her about her trip.
Definitely.
Such a nice woman.
Yeah, it's Angela would definitely be a powerful character to be around. You know, speaks her mind and just kind of like lets it be known. So, yeah, good on her.
Yeah, dog shit wherever they want at her house. Look at all these fancy dogs on leashes. Love it. Okay, moving on to our next couple, Mike and Natalie. Probably my least favorite couple of the season. I think we just got so much of them and their drawn-out drama last season that it's just going to continue. So somehow, within the last 6 months, they have no more problems. They're happy. They're lovey. And yeah, everything's back to normal, it seems.
So I have a thought on them. Do you remember in the tell-all, they arrived like in separate vehicles?
Yes.
They were, you know, they looked, you know, unhappy with each other.
They hate each other.
I'm so confused because in the tell-all, it sounded like they couldn't stand each other, almost like they were on the verge of divorce, but now we're rolling over to this show and everything's great. So are they... was that just a farce to build hype for this season or something?
That's what I'm wondering. So could they give us no answers on anything because they had to keep everything a secret for this season? Or were the seasons filmed so oddly that the happily ever after, or excuse me, the tell-all is even later than this?
Yeah, if that's the case, it kind of made the tell-all sort of pointless from their perspective, because they're basically like, we're not going to say anything because we're on the next season of this show. Which is kind of pointless then if they're just not going to reveal anything.
And it's still annoying that even during this first episode, they're still asking what happened that day. Why was the wedding called off? And it's simply, the answer given was, I'm not going to talk about it.
So what are your thoughts on that with, you know, Mike saying, you know, I just wasn't ready to get married that day. And then, but they got married like a day or two later.
Maybe it was a full moon. I don't know. I don't know what causes... I don't see how you could have such a turnaround in 2 days.
Right. And if this does end up being, you know, a successful marriage or whatever, I'm trying to say what type of wedding people should have, but my goodness, that wedding looked kind of dry.
It did. There wasn't, I think it was just a lot of stress from every single person involved, and no one really knew how they got there. From the crying Natalie, calling everyone, super, you know, intense moment, driving, poor Tamara driving all over the state of Washington, to then, oh, you're the witness at our wedding 2 days later. Like, I just don't get it.
Moving on, they mention, you know, Mike doesn't wear a ring, and Natalie's super adamant about either getting him a ring or calling him out for not wearing a ring, which I don't even know if she ever did get him a ring for the marriage portion of this.
That's my thing. Is so she bought herself a ring to go with her engagement ring, which is fine and great, but why didn't she just buy a ring for Mike if that was such a big deal?
So here's my thought. Mike tried to say, oh yeah, you know, I work this type of job, you know, it's a safety thing, you know, whatnot. But I'm over here thinking like, yeah, but you're not working right now. I mean, you can put your ring on after you, you know, clock out.
And they do make those rubber rings that are for, you know, like electricians and construction workers. And so if there is pose a safety issue, it just like rips right off.
Kind of not buying it, Mike, but we'll see. Let's see. What else did they? Oh,
no. The store. I love the store right off the bat. It's great. The woman running it. Wonderful woman.
Right. So do we want to mention Natalie's little, her energies thing?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. So she says that she's Christian Orthodox, but she believes in the energies. And I'm not really sure why it's okay for her to believe in the energies, but she is going to trash Mike for believing in aliens. I feel like we're missing something here.
It's kind of like, it's okay if I'm into it, but not if you're into it kind of
thing. Yes, and then that just brings me back to last season, where it's like, I am much more beautiful than you. You are a trash man, basically. So, I don't know. I just don't... There's always... My impression of Natalie is that she just thinks really highly of herself and the things she believes in and the things that she wants to do, but not necessarily the views of others.
I also thought it was funny that... we walk into a store of the energies, and somehow always that story leads to sex energy.
Which brings up a great point. So I think the one thing honestly keeping them together is they have lots of great sex. And that's kind of it. They don't have anything else going for them, but they both enjoy their sex life. And I think that's like the only saving grace here.
Maybe. I mean, Mike was mentioning that he needed like to revitalize sex or... get the sex going. So,
oh, okay. So maybe do need a little help there. But that was kind of my impression of last season as well, is like that's the only thing going on for them. Natalie wants to go on a trip, like a honeymoon, and then Mike is like, yeah, let's go see my mom. That is the least fun romantic honeymoon I could ever think of. And how stressful. The woman that asked the neighbor, poor Tamara, to object to the wedding is now... You have to stay in her home? That's awful.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to make for some confrontation in the show. And it does kind of seem like the more and more seasons of 90 Day that we have, it's like the confrontations are only increasing.
Totally agree. Like, if you watch the other seasons, there's totally drama, confrontation, but it's so mild in comparison.
yeah, we'll have to... It'll be pretty exciting to see what happens the next episode with her mom, for sure.
Oh, man. Still, so much props to Tamara. She is still there. She's still giving her opinions on things, even after all that she has been through. Good for her. Okay, let's go ahead and go on to... someone I'm also not happy that's on here. Maybe even more. Andre and Libby. Oh, man. Starting off with just saying, sexy daddy, handsome daddy. I instantly was like, oh, yeah, I don't want any part of this.
So, yeah, my thoughts on them... You know, I don't mind them. They seem to make a good team. They seem to be good parents. They just have a really tough struggle with Libby's family. Yeah. And it's pretty amazing that they have so many issues just due to them questioning Andre so much, even though they've been together for multiple years, and seem to be pretty happy. We'll probably get into that in a sec, but they kicked it off with them letting us know that Andre, you know, as they're taking his modeling photos, that I guess he got his real estate license.
Yeah.
I mean, what are your thoughts on that, career, trajectory and what he's trying to do?
I think it's going to fizzle out kind of like everything else has so far. I mean, what was the initial thought? So he's refused to work for her dad and Chuck. The family business. Yes. Yep. And then got his CDL.
Yeah.
But did nothing with that. Like, I don't even think he got a job at the end of the day. And now we're moving on to this, which maybe this will be his niche. Maybe it'll be great. I mean, buy a house from him. He's the best. So I just don't see it working as well as maybe everyone hopes, but it sounds like he's going to go right into the family business. I don't know why. And no one can have their own job or career, but
I do find it interesting that, I mean, he went through, the path of, you know, getting his license. You know, I'm sure that's, that does take some effort for sure. But I mean, he's basically working in the same career path, not only of Libby's family, but direct competition of her dad. I just don't see why there has to be sort of this parallel journey between like this man's ability to have a career and provide for his family and like Libby's family's, you know, on the opposite end. I kind of just wish he would do his own thing and discover something that would truly bring him joy and kind
of. But I wish that for that entire family.
Yeah.
Everyone just seems like they kind of were like, well, I'm going to do whatever I want. And then the safety net.
I do feel a certain level of nepotism from the family. Maybe that's just me. Our backgrounds are kind of a lot different than Libby's family. You know, we're kind of, we are not rich, not middle class growing up. Probably more towards the poorer side, for sure. I mean, just had to like work our way through to get through life, and obviously you're going through university and whatnot. But yeah, when I see, I guess there's probably a right and wrong way to do this, to help your family succeed and all that good stuff. But something about Libby's family and the way they do things just kind of rubs me the wrong way.
I am not over the Moldova trip. I'm hanging on to that. I absolutely hate the disrespect shown to the culture, Andre's family. It was just disgusting. I was so angry that season. And to quote this episode, Libby talking to Andre, go in with an open mind and be appreciative of everything he offers you, which is bullshit because they were horrible in Moldova to his family and everything that they offered them.
Yeah, the
peasant food.
The trip
during a huge feast.
Yeah, the trip definitely wasn't a good look for his family. I mean, Andre's family seemed super welcoming and like friendly compared to Andre, which was weird that Libby's family kind of took a negative stance towards Moldova in general and just kind of bashed his country and just because they're not the richest country and they have what they have, but that's no reason to disrespect someone's culture and how they grew up and how they live. But that's all kind of all I have to say on that. And just not that big of a fan of her family. So
no, completely agree. Like they're up there with the family Chantel now. I can't watch anything that has to do with them. And Libby family or family Libby is getting right up there with me.
What's Libby's brother's name?
Chuck. No, Charlie.
Charlie. So. Oh my gosh, and then, yeah, him during the wedding, and then just being super drunk, and trying to fight Andre, and then, next episode,
let them fight.
I guess they're gonna have some kind of confrontation. I know, right?
Let them fight.
Why can't these guys just get in, like, a boxing ring with, like, some headgear and just go to town?
Just fight. Like, Andre's gonna rock. Yeah, that's fine.
Jake Paul versus Andre. Let's go.
Oh my god, I would pay to see that. Let's get that going. Oh my god, that's how he can make money.
There you go.
So he can make his 100 grand.
There you go.
Okay, I'll put this idea out on the internet. I'll do it next live tweeting. Okay, let's go to Brandon and Julia. So they kind of recap their wedding and their struggles with her coming from kind of a city lifestyle to the farm and having to work and kind of be under the rule of Betty. And then in this episode, they're going to Las Vegas. And I still think Brandon is just as much his child as last season and not funny at all.
The man child. Definitely. I love how he kept having to reiterate that we're going to be all alone. AKA, we're going to be fucking.
Yeah, absolutely. So, something I thought was super interesting, just to go back for a little bit. So, on their initial season, they talked about how they met through Brandon's friend, but they didn't really reiterate how, and he saw her go-go dancing, he fell in love with her, and like 24 hours later, he said that, oh, you look like my future wife.
Well, first of all, apparently Brandon has a best friend that was living and working out of Korea.
So that's the thing. So I don't know if I made it up in my head that this best friend was in Russia and that's how they met. But then on this season, they're saying Julia was traveling. She was dancing in South Korea. And then I don't know how you introduce a friend through a web chat or like watching her dance. I don't even know how that happens, but they somehow met. But here's my other thing. So 5 months later, he then... Oh, no. He went to South Korea, met her. 5 months later, they met in Iceland where he proposed. And then months later, they went to France so that his parents could meet her. And so now I can see why he's in debt. It's just really interesting to me how much more we've got of the initial story on this episode versus the initial introduction.
Yeah. This is a... I think it's going to be honestly going to make for great TV to see... Brandon in Vegas. It just kind of seems totally out of his character, and maybe I'm wrong, and he's just gonna party and turn into a wild animal.
I mean, we saw him partying naked in the hot tub. That is for therapy, and so I mean, maybe he'll let loose.
Yeah, but I'm sure Julia's gonna have the time of her life. One thing I thought was interesting is she said, you know, she feels so comfortable, and she's maybe has said she feels at home.
I feel like she just feels better in general,
but
she's got away to any city that is not Dinwiddle.
Yeah, in my eyes, it seems like she would say that literally about anywhere that has human beings around them and no animals.
No pigs.
But yeah, and then she's sort of, semi-seriously asking him, like, let's live here, you know? And he's kind of just bashing on people that live in Vegas. And I'm like,
I know,
dude,
like, people don't live in Vegas.
People live in Vegas that don't just go to the casinos every day.
He kept saying, you can't live here. I would have to get a new license to work. People move across the world all the time and they figure out work and you can do other things or get a new license. Like, it's not that bad. So yeah, really, he's saying he's not going to leave his area.
I mean, you gotta imagine. I mean, I'm sure, he's lived with his parents, essentially his whole life. And I think he's 28 or 27, somewhere around there. He's used to that area. He's probably made career connections there, so it's almost like his whole life is definitely rooted there. He's not going anywhere anytime soon, and I feel for Julia because I feel like that is not her vibe.
Absolutely. Like, if you're go-go dancing and you're going from Russia to South Korea, Iceland, like all these places, I just cannot see her being happy. Yeah. So I do feel bad for her in that sense.
They do seem to be in love and to care for each other, so in that sense they do have that going for them, so that could definitely take them far. How happy she's going to be, where she's at, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Also, side note, this did make me miss Vegas.
Definitely. I don't know when this was filmed, but I'm guessing it's probably a few months ago.
Isn't it crazy how it looks like COVID doesn't exist there? Right.
Well, there was like a 50-50 of like folks wearing masks and them not wearing masks. And we are definitely still in a pandemic and, just got to... we have a little bit of ways to go and we'll get there. Definitely miss Vegas and I can't wait for us to go back.
My favorite thing is that I have to order a yardstick every time I go just for memories. And then a quarter to at most a halfway through, I just hand it to you because it's disgusting.
Right. So I end up fisting two yardsticks.
Yeah, double fisting. It looks great.
Yeah, double fisting two yardsticks and being totally hammered on the strip.
Yeah, and then we gamble and it's great. Like, it's the Vegas experience. There's something about walking around with your drink that is so fun to me.
Just a FYI for fellow listeners, if you have not been to the buffet, we're buffet people, by the way, just as a side note as well. If you end up going to Vegas and you're into buffets, go to the Cosmopolitan. The buffet there is incredible.
It's kind of a nice middle ground between like a lower end buffet and then, but it's not like as crazy and as intimidating as like Caesar's Palace. So right. I love
definitely,
it.
Definitely.
And add on that endless all you can drink if you want to do that as well. I also regret those as well.
Yeah. Shout out to the Cosmo. Appreciate you guys taking care of us.
But yeah, so I think they'll be fine as long as they can get out of Ron and Betty's house. Oh, other question. Do you think of Julia differently now that the tell-all is aired and it was revealed that she doesn't have to do any of those chores? No one makes her do it. She just does it so Brandon has more time with her at the end of the day and he doesn't have to do it. Does that change your opinion on her constantly complaining about things and kind of like acting like she is being forced to do these items?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what her play there was. I mean, was she trying to get the crowd to kind of like feel for her?
I'm sure it was producer driven. I feel like that's the angle it was. I mean, I guess it changes my opinion in the sense of like, I knew, like, I was always very on her team. Like, no, she shouldn't have to do this. I see.
So for the storyline, you're going to be definitely, like, getting on her team and for her.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what the fuck? You didn't have to do any of this shit.
Yeah, now I'm like, oh, well, it wasn't that bad, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, but I don't know. From her perspective, she must be incredibly bored.
Yeah.
And if, honestly, the only thing to do there is to feed some damn animals and she's like, I don't want to do that, she must have nothing to do.
I wouldn't make it. I can tell you right now, I need fast internet and restaurants and coffee and things that I can walk to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, going to Kalani and Asuelu. So at the end of the last season they were on, man, that was a hard season. It definitely changed my opinion on Asuelu. I kind of thought he was, you know, a little bit of an airhead, but very nice, you know, good dad, decent husband. But that last season really changed my mind with how he was with his family and how he was with Kalani and just being a really kind of an asshole. Now we're kind of fast forward to where they're looking for a home for themselves and to move out of her parents' house. And we learned he's also a boom man, big pom-poms.
did we notice the sheer amount of shots that just yelled, titties, titties, titties?
Hey, she has them. You enjoy them, girl.
There's such an interesting couple in that, I mean, they have two kiddos, and they had them, I think, fairly quickly in their relationship.
Yeah.
They seem to have a lot of struggles. They used to, for sure, with a little bit of communication, Asuelu with her family, just their relationship in general. And they're sort of having all these issues, and I did kind of wonder, you're having these issues, you mentioned divorce has been on the table multiple times, but you're still shopping for a home for your family. Not to mention the point that he's a rideshare driver. So, you know, she's probably stay-at-home mom, take care of the kids. That's all well and good. But I don't know how much 90 days paying, but how do you afford to buy a home when Asuelu here is driving rideshare? And honestly, during COVID, I imagine a lot of people are not getting rideshares.
Yeah.
The market must be down. Whether if he's driving to a bigger city to get rides, it just can't be at the volume that it was before COVID.
It's probably better paying than the part-time yogurt shop.
It's possible, but I would imagine he would probably have to put in a lot of hours, which exactly. Then now you're spending more time away from family.
Exactly. And if that little time that you do have with your family, you're kind of being a butt to everyone and just fighting with everyone in the house, it's not good. I feel like getting a home to save your marriage is not the correct logic here. So having a home is super stressful. It causes a lot of fights. I just don't see how buying a home will save your marriage.
Yeah, I did find it interesting that they dislike the price of the house, but I'm over here side-eyeing like, bro, you do the price of the house before you even showed up. Like, come on.
That's true. Kalani's looking great. Wonderful sister is always super supportive. I can appreciate that the possible divorce party color scheme is going to be black for, you know, mourning that marriage.
Yeah, good, definitely. When they mentioned the color scheme of the divorce party, I was definitely thinking about you initially.
I do wear mostly black, and it's probably my favorite color, so I can appreciate that. No. Really not a lot happened with them. They just kind of looked at the house. Oh, how do you feel about Asuelu jumping on the bed with the two kids of a showroom house?
The real estate agent must have been like, this motherfucker, man, I'm about to put this shit back together.
Yeah, exactly. It's up to him to put it back together. That sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, again, he's just got a childlike mentality, and he's just like, fuck it, it's gonna be our house, let's jump on this bed. And it's like, bro, but it's not your bed or your house yet, like, what?
But yeah, really not too much happened with them. I'll be really curious to see Kalani's parents, and specifically her dad, what he has to say about things that have happened since the last season, and how he feels about it, because he is an intimidating man.
Right. They kind of do mention sort of that, well, I mean, there's a reason they want to move out, right? They probably want more privacy, or they just don't like how many people are living at the home. Yeah. Maybe Osuelo and her dad have sort of big personalities, and it's kind of like, even though Osuelo seems kind of sort of enclosed in his own little world, I don't know, maybe there's sort of like a struggle there.
Yeah. He probably spends as much time as he can outside raking the apples just to not be in there. So,
they do have two kiddos, so I do wish them the best, and hopefully it doesn't get too crazy this season, but they've kind of already previewed a fight between Swayla's sister and Kalani's sister, so that'll definitely be interesting, a continuation of previous
seasons. We had the money issue last season. You have to give the family money, all your money, whatever. So we moved past that to you have to have more babies. They are hitting big time with these issues.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to watch the next episode for sure, because there's going to be some fireworks, definitely.
So on the next time on, we get a preview of Angela, kind of the consult before the surgery. Also, fun fact, I knew that doctor looked super familiar, so I Googled it. He's the same doctor that came up with the solution for the Gorilla Glue hair girl.
That's the lady that got her hair stuck, like, permanently for, like, 30 days or
exactly.
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay. So, I feel like he's a great doctor. Fully support this. I was very into the Gorilla Glue saga, constantly checking. Yeah.
Shout out to him. Help people out.
Exactly. Appreciate and look you. At him. Then we kind of go to Brandon and Julia. Julia will have her interview for permanent residency. We both thought it was interesting that the parents opened her mail. That was the only thing we really
got. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck, bro? Why are you reading my mail?
That is weird. I'm hoping that they were like, oh, she has this very official looking letter. Can we open it? But let's be honest, they probably just opened it.
Or maybe it's more telling of like, we have no privacy, so we're in Vegas. Yeah. Fucking.
Exactly. Finally. Wherever they want, however much they want. Asuelu and Kalani, Asuelu reacts to Kalini moving in for a month. He didn't have a big reaction, but I'm sure once the time comes, it'll be much worse. And however his family kind of shows up in the picture, I can't tell if they end up going to Washington or if Asuelu's family comes to Utah. So I think that'll be also a really interesting aspect. So it sounds like Tiffany is divorcing Ronald after some very heated arguments. I'm really excited to kind of come back to them. It's been a long time since we've really checked in with them. They have the baby, so I'm wondering if she's bringing the kids with her this time to South Africa, if it's just her, and kind of what the final straw is for her to go to a lawyer. Because it's been really bad in the past. This isn't anything new.
Yeah, they didn't, I didn't recall, at least. I didn't remember seeing the kids with her when they were talking.
Yeah, I didn't see sweet Daniel. Which we all love.
But again, it's just a tough relationship. They seem to be fighting at the moment. Again, kids involved, so it's going to be pretty tough. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, from her appointment with a lawyer, I think it seems that she was pretty decided on getting a divorce.
And very sad, so that sucks.
Yeah, so it's definitely happening for sure. So this is going to be definitely interesting.
Charlie is already fighting with Andre and Libby, so that's just going to be a continuation. Like, I don't see that ever coming to a conclusion, or Charlie being able to see Andre's side. Not that asking for $100,000 is something to see a side on, but he'll never be wrong in his eyes.
Actually, we didn't even touch on that, on Andre essentially asking Chuck for $100,000. That was just, like, the audacity of just like, yo, man, give me $100,000. Like, dude, like, what? You're saying it so nonchalant. Like, this is a shit ton of money. Like, to a lot of people, like, this is insane amount of money.
I'm so bitter about the last season that I'm like, yeah, Andre, get your money.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Well,
try it. Shoot for the stars.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. But that Andre and her family, it's almost like there's just no way.
It's never going to be good with Jen and Charlie.
Right.
And Andre. Like, it's just not.
Yeah. No, but it'll make for good TV, so we'll be tuning in for sure.
Mike and Natalie are going to get real spicy real fast. Mike's getting naked photos from a friend in Nevada, which is weird. It could be anyone.
I have a feeling this is definitely going to turn into one of those, like, some random lady on the internet.
That's what I think it is.
Sent me some naked pictures, and then it blew up, and then Natalie's, yeah, it's
going to be hard. That's my initial thought as well, is that someone who knows who they are sent him a naked photo, and Natalie saw it, went to her profile, it says she's from Nevada, but there's actually no connection. Well, look at Natalie how much, always blows things up, well, I feel like. Well,
look at how much drama we got from the friend where Mike slept over at their house before their wedding. I mean, that turned out to be a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, so exactly.
I honestly think this is just going to be absolutely nothing.
Okay, so that's it for this episode. I think in the future we're going to try to be covering other things, such as Seeking Sister Wife. I think that has been a great, cringe, horrible dumpster fire, and I love it. So I would love to do Seeking Sister Wife. I also would love, maybe not to do an entire season recap, but maybe a tell-all recap of Married at First Sight. This season was nuts. Everybody hates Chris.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, there's.
I hate Chris.
There's a decent amount of shows that we are looking to cover, and just hopefully you guys tune in and just give us some feedback and where we can improve. Like, this is something totally new for us, and we're just trying to enjoy it as a hobby and see what it becomes. So thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you. Have a good day.